Good morning. Welcome back. Good to see you here. Good to be in the sanctuary. It's good to be in God's house today to worship. Gathering at each person's home and listening to something recorded that I recorded several days ago. It's good to be here. And due to the COVID restrictions that are still in place in this Commonwealth, we are abiding by those, which is 6 feet separation between living households, wearing masks, except when worship leaders can take the mask off while they're doing it, because if I was to sit down, I'd have to put that on. Marilyn has warned me that perhaps some of the service music may be a hymn, and you might find yourself humming along. If we're not singing, because that's one of the last things that is permissible because of the possibility of transmitting disease by singing. But if you find yourself quietly humming with your mask on, you can have somebody coming by and tapping you and say, shh. It is good to have you here. I know you still feel distant, but it's good to have you here today. I expect in the coming weeks that we will slowly relax some of these restrictions. We may not go as far as the governor said next Saturday. We may still require some next week, but slowly we'll be changing that and adjusting to that. You will know that there is one-way traffic here in the sanctuary, center aisle, the two side aisles, the green aisles coming down. If you need to go up back, you can go up the far side aisles or go outside. Those of you who are not in this business meeting, you are going to business meeting after the service today. Those of you who are not members or who do not wish to stay at that meeting, if you will stand, I don't even know what the actual post loop, I will ask you to stand and you will just be dismissed by roll out of the front door. After the business meeting, again, you will be dismissed by roll from the front to the back, out in front of the side of the door. The goal is, again, maintaining that social distancing. I heard someone say, well, we can't hug. I said, hug your partner, not this part. Most of the rules are inside use, not too much outside. I mentioned the special business meeting today, and that is to elect congregational representatives to the National Search Committee. Also, tomorrow night, our Bible study online will continue at 6:30, and the link has been sent to those who are participating. And I don't believe there are any more announcements at this time. So, on this day of Pentecost, as we worship together in person for the first time in many months, may God pour out His great Spirit upon us. May the power and promise of that day so long ago renew us and our church on this Pentecost day. In our worship, may our hearts be set afire with enthusiasm, and may our lives show forth with energy and courage as we live the good news of new life. Please join with me in prayer. God of creation, you formed us out of your incredible love and breathed life into us. By your Spirit, breathe new life and faith into our daily living. Lead us to life eternal by the mighty love of Jesus Christ. O God, show us the power of reconciling love. In your presence on Pentecost, you filled your disciples with strength, vision, and confidence. Do so again here and now. Bring upon us now in this time of worship and celebration a new sense of your life-giving Spirit. We ask this in the name of our risen and ascended Lord, Jesus Christ. And we now pray aloud together as he taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We move into a time of morning prayer now, and I have a couple prayer requests I'd like to share with you before we go to silent prayer. One is to remember Jim Dickey, that Jim's not been feeling well for several weeks, and has now had a procedure scheduled for the first week in June. So we'll keep Jim and family in prayer. Also, I spoke with Diane Foxon yesterday, and she did not feel able to come today physically. Want you to know that she is with us in spirit today, and I want to let you know an update on her son, Jeff, who contracted COVID again this spring, and is now in his second rehab. And hopefully, we'll be able to stay there a little longer as he slowly recovers, regains lung usage. So we want to keep Jeff Foxon in prayer. And also celebration day, I learned yesterday that Dorothy Berry became a great-grandmother for the first time recently. Dorothy was the first great-grandchild of a baby boy, over 8 pounds, and family's doing well. So we celebrate Dorothy in that. So I invite you now to lift up some of the dimension here as something on your heart as we go and have a silent prayer that will lead us in congregational prayer. Let's pray together.
Wow.
We are so grateful that several effective vaccines have been developed and administered so quickly. And we lift up the several million people around the world who have succumbed to the virus. Gracious God, send your Spirit upon us this day and bless us so that we may be changed by having been together today. And we ask this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name.
Audi, BMW. They are some of a dozen at least major car makers who are now building electric vehicles in the market where those vehicles are expected to grow rapidly. President Biden was this week visiting Ford Motor Company Electric Vehicle Center in Michigan, and he claimed these words that I have about to quote here.
The future of the auto industry is electric. There's no turning back, and I end quote. But with all these different manufacturers, there is a problem, if not a challenge. There is no uniform location for the charging ports on the vehicles. Now, when we go to a gas station to fill up our gas-powered vehicle, we can be pretty sure that we will pump gas into the tank from the side of the car in the rear. We might not know which side, and we might have to pull the hose around to get it to it, but we're pretty sure of one or two locations. But where do we put the charger into an electric car? It could be the front, or the back, or one of the sides. It sounds very confusing. In Korea, the car maker Hyundai recently embarked on a project of building public charging stations in Seoul, and they wanted to accommodate as many brands of cars as possible. So according to Fast Company magazine, Hyundai tapped the consulting firm McKinsey to develop a universal charger that would easily work with any electric car, no matter where the port was. The result was the Hyundai Hi Charger, whose design was inspired by self-serve car washes. A partner in the consulting firm says this: they have the sprayer and the car wash is hanging down from the top, and it kind of rotates around. The same with this new Hyundai Hi Charger. It has a beacon with a glowing halo, and the halo rotates and drops the charging cable in just the right spot, depending on the make and model of the electric car. It's a universal charger. Doesn't matter where the port is on which car, it will find it. In today's scripture from the book of Acts, we read that there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. There were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. Lots of brands of Jews, more variety than we have today in electric cars. But the first followers of Jesus had just one brand of Jew. They were Galileans. They weren't the most highly educated people in Jerusalem, and most people expected that their language abilities to be limited. But God was at work at a surprising design. The followers of Jesus were all together in one place, says the book of Acts. They had come together to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, which was focused on God's gift of the law through Moses to the Israelites. Suddenly from heaven, we read in Acts, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. God was determined to fill the disciples with power. The Holy Spirit came with the rush of a violent wind, like the wind from God that swept over the face of the waters on the first day of creation that we read about in Genesis. The Spirit danced with divided tongues as of fire, like the burning bush that revealed God to Moses a bush that was blazing, yet was not consumed. The Galilean disciples began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability, making it possible for them to communicate with devout Jews from every nation. The Holy Spirit was a universal charger. This same Spirit is available to us today, and it is charging us in the same way that it charged the first followers of Jesus. Our challenge is to receive what the Spirit wants to offer us, and then to share that divine energy with others. We are being given a Holy Spirit high charger, not a Hyundai high charger, but in both cases, their power is put into just the right spot. So let's consider how this happens. First, the Spirit is a creative force in our lives. Just as the wind of God was a creative power in the making of the heavens and the earth. In the book of Acts, the Spirit creates the Christian community, which is why Pentecost is often called the birthday of the church, the day the church was born. God's Spirit poured out on a collection of believers. The Holy Spirit is not a personal gift from God that each believer privatizes, writes biblical professor Robert Wall. The fact that the Spirit appeared to a group is the distinguishing mark of a people belonging to God, not just as individuals. We tend to have an individualistic view of faith in the United States. And many people talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what is created by the Spirit on Pentecost is a distinctive and powerful community of faith. The challenge for us as the Christian community is to be simultaneously both one together, one as individuals and many as together. This means that we are one as individuals, but collectively in our worship of the Lord. We are many in our expressions of the faith because we are connected to God as Christians who come from a wide variety of backgrounds. The Holy Spirit came on Pentecost to a diverse collection of believers, and this Spirit created something new and powerful, which is known as the Christian community. And next, the Spirit shows us that God is right in front of us. Just as the fire of the burning bush told Moses that God was present in his life. On Pentecost, we read divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. This fire was impossible to ignore, and it brilliantly showed that the power of God was with them. Such fire is nothing new in Scripture. When God liberated his people from captivity in Egypt, the Lord went in front of them, leading them in a pillar of fire. And then the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel as Moses went up to get those commandments. And the Lord's presence was shown by fire on the top of the mountain. When the prophets Elijah and Elisha were walking along, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. The prophet Isaiah promises that the Lord will come in fire in his chariots like a whirlwind. And in a vision in the book of Revelation, John says that the eyes of Christ will be like a flame of fire. Pillar of fire, devouring fire, a chariot of fire, a flame of fire. What unites all these blazing sights? All are signs of the presence and power of God. Again and again, God comes into the middle of human life and appears to us. Sometimes these appearances are brilliant, like tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost. Sometimes they are more subtle, like the squeeze of a hand, an encouraging word, an expression of forgiveness, a statement of love. But whether God comes in blazing fire or in warm words, God is present and God is powerful. The promise of Pentecost is that God is with us, always with us. And that is true for all Christians. It echoes the promise made when Jesus was given the name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is our universal charger, giving us the healing and help we need in every time, in every place, in every situation. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to communicate with people of every race and every culture, just as it enabled the first followers of Jesus to connect with a diverse group of Jews in Jerusalem that day. The Apostle Peter quickly discovered that the gift of the Spirit was not a private gift to him. It was given to him so that he could share God's deeds of power with others. Taking a bold stand, Peter announced to the people of Jerusalem, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Yes, the Spirit was coming to fill not just Peter and the other followers of Jesus, but a diverse group of sons and daughters, young men and old men, and even men and women who were slaves or servants. All of the cultural barriers that had previously existed were breaking down. "And now," said Peter, "everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Holy Spirit wants us to break down barriers and share God's energy with others. This may involve personally learning a new language or teaching English as a second language. Our congregation is already breaking down some barriers as we welcome congregations with immigrants from Latin America, Korea, Nepal, China, and Brazil to share our large buildings for their worship and programs. The Holy Spirit may challenge us to take a worship service out into the parking lot or onto the lawn to reach people who do not feel comfortable coming inside a church building. Perhaps we will be challenged to provide more active support for some of our local, regional, national or international mission projects where basic human needs are met, the love of Jesus is shared with those who are hurting, and support is given to those who are struggling to determine what they believe. The book of Acts challenges us to be a universal charger, connecting us with people who are unlike ourselves. The Holy Spirit remains a creative force in the world, one that is continuing to form the Christian community. The flame of God's presence is always with us, working powerfully in our lives. And the Spirit pushes us to reach outward to every race and nationality, sharing divine energy with others. That's a high charge, Holy Spirit, one that fills us and others with the power of God. Let's pray together. Living God, your Spirit flamed in your church at its founding. Spark among us today. Even as the bush that Moses gazed upon burned and was not consumed, burn in our hearts. Make us your fuel. Use us for your work. Unite us in the bonds of community, that we may be the church today for others, and not only for ourselves. May the relationship we know in you inspire us to be as faithful as the believers of the early church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we conclude this time of worship, I encourage you to go forth in power, being full of the Spirit of God. Let love be genuine. Hold fast to what is good. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. And persevere in prayer. And may God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.